Friends, I want to begin by telling you a story. When I was a youngster in what we used to call Standard One, so I'm dating myself a long time ago, I remember a very specific experience. I was in the classroom with my class and the teacher. And the teacher was giving back a test that we had written in that class. And I hadn't done too well in that test. And I remember the teacher bringing two or three of us to the front of the class and saying to the class, "Look, this was not good enough. These will never make it in life." And that brought me to another memory of one day coming home with a school report and my mother looking at the report and saying to me, "This is not good enough. You should do more work at school and less sport." Notice that in both times, they were talking about what I had done in a test or in a report. But somehow the message came to me that you are not good enough. And I lived with this message for a long time. The message shaped perhaps the way that I thought about myself, the way that I acted, the way that I interacted, the choices that I made. And it was only much later on in life, after reflecting and prayer, I started to uncover this message that lived in my subconscious. And I started perhaps to understand why so often when I was faced with something, the first thing that always came to my head is, "Can you do this? Because you know you are not good enough." The great spiritual writer of the last century, Henry Nouwen, speaks about what is most personal, which is also most universal. You know, so often in our lives, we think there is something, and it's especially a vulnerability that is ours, and we keep it secret. We don't talk about it. And very often, when we feel that we are not good enough for whatever it is, we keep that to ourselves. And yet when we dare to start to speak to others, to start to tell our story, we discover that they too might feel the same way. And so Nouwen says, often what we hold on to, what we think is private, our vulnerabilities, our insecurities, we soon discover are the same in others. And therefore, what is most personal is most universal. And we see that in the scriptures too. We see great figures in the scriptures who themselves felt that they were not good enough right through the scriptures. Go back to Moses in chapter 4 of the book of Exodus. He's having a debate with God. And he says to God, "Just leave me alone. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I can't speak." Or in the book of Judges in chapter 6, we meet Gideon who says, "I can't respond to God's call. I come from an insignificant family. I am a nobody." The prophet Isaiah in chapter 6 says, "Woe to me, I am not good enough, Lord. Leave me alone." Or we know of Simon Peter in Luke's gospel who says, "Lord, stay away from me. I am a sinful man." Part of our experience, perhaps when we feel that we are not good enough, was the experience of many people in the scriptures. And yet, despite that, God still calls them, and not only calls them, but God sends them. Because you see, friends, God sees differently to us. And I want us this morning to just get a glimpse of how God sees us. And let's do that by looking together, reading together Psalm 139, where the great King David writes, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." How David says that we are wonderfully made, wonderfully made. So often, perhaps, we forget that by the messages that we receive when we are trying to journey on the path of life. Messages that come in various packages. Messages, perhaps, that sometimes help us to grow, and other times, like the message, "You are not good enough," can stunt our growth. I want to suggest to you, friends, that there are three invitations for us, most especially now in this time of Lent. And the first one is to become aware of what is going on inside of us. In the prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 33, the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." You see, I think there's two ways that we can deal with the messages that live in our heads. The first one is to become aware of that message and how we allow it to direct our journey of life. Is the message that I'm living from a message that devalues myself, a message that alienates me from myself? And this may come out in subtle ways. In relationships, we perhaps do things, we feel insecure because we feel that we are not good enough. It may come out in a way when we are working far too hard because we have to prove that we are good enough. We may think that we have to achieve, and so our life goal is simply to achieve, to feel that we have some value, that we are good enough. Or at an extreme, it may even lead to something like depression, where we try and we try and we exhaust ourselves, and yet somehow we never feel good enough. And so we have to become aware of how these subtle messages direct our lives, direct our journey, and what the outcome of that directing is. And then awareness helps us to begin to change the way that we think. Awareness helps us to begin to walk the path of healing. We are able to see the false messages that we carry for what they are. We are able to begin to discern between what is true and what is not, between our true selves and our false selves. And then what we want to do is we want to begin to see ourselves as God sees us. Awareness helps us to become aware of what is false, and it also helps us to begin to see a journey that will reveal what is true. And that happens in prayer, in reflection, and in contemplation. We are told in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians that we are to put on the mind of Christ. And that's what we're being invited to do. Awareness is inviting us to put on the mind of Christ, to see through the mind of Christ. Now, of course, we have a choice. You know, friends, perhaps more than anything in life, the only real power we have is to choose. No human being is free completely, but one thing where we are free is the power to choose. And we can choose to make this journey of awareness, or we can choose not to. And in Lent, we're being invited to make a choice. We're being invited to take a journey. We're being invited to see differently. The second thing I want to invite you to do today is to interrogate the message, perhaps, that you live with. Good enough for whom? Who decides the parameters of whether you are valued or not? Is it others? Perhaps like I allowed that teacher and the message from my mother to live in my head? Or does it come from somewhere within the self? Is it self-imposed because maybe the ego is after something else, the false self? The American writer Byron Katie has a very kind of interesting way of interrogating this through questions that she calls the method. She asks us to take something that we believe about ourselves and to say that statement, to write it down and to say it. And then she says we should ask ourselves, is this statement true? And answer that. And then to the next level, why do I say the statement is true or not? We have to interrogate the messages that we live with. Because often too, we find that those messages that live in our subconscious are messages, perhaps, that we have allowed to settle there with no foundation whatsoever. You see, for us as God's people, the parameters of who we are decided by God. God decides exactly who we are. And we get told that wonderfully in the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul tells us, you are God's artwork. You are God's handiwork. You have been created to do good for God. That is who we truly are. And when we begin to interrogate those messages we have in our heads, those messages that we live with, especially the message, I'm not good enough, we discover something very different when we reflect on ourselves in the light of the way that God sees us. And the third thing we're invited to do this Lent is to listen to God, to reclaim our true identity. You know, so often as we live life, as we live with these different messages, as we perhaps get the corners knocked off, as we have to struggle through many challenges in life, our identity slowly becomes eroded. And in this time of Lent, we're being invited to reclaim our true identity. And that identity is once again very clear for us in the scriptures. In the first letter of St. John, in chapter 3, verse 1, we are told, you are the beloved sons and daughters of God. The beloved sons and daughters of God. Henry Nouwen tells us that long before we were born, or long after we have died, that is our true identity, the beloved sons and daughters of God. And this is not something that just happens once. We're invited over and over again to visit that identity, that true identity. Notice that this happens to Jesus as well. At his baptism, his identity is given to him. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. He goes through the temptations. After that, he again has to reclaim his identity. We are told that angels come and minister to him. And then in his transfiguration, when he goes up the mountain with those disciples of his, those the inner cabinet, so to speak, what happens? Again, the identity of Jesus is given to him. This is my son, the beloved. We don't just do that once. We don't become aware, perhaps, of a message like, I'm not good enough, and then suddenly it's gone. It's an ongoing journey of reclaiming our identity, as it was for Jesus, an ongoing journey of reclaiming his identity. And so too it will be for us. If we really allow ourselves to work through this, to become aware of those messages, to interrogate those messages, and then to see it through the identity that we are given by the Lord, by reclaiming that identity, our journey takes us there over and over again. And in this time of Lent, that's exactly what we're being invited to do, to make sure that we live not from those dark or those difficult places in our lives, but rather in the light of the Lord himself. And so as we reflect on these messages, and perhaps most especially that message, you are not good enough, we're being asked to bring them into the light. And maybe there's another message that you live with that somehow has shaped your journey, and you can see that it has alienated you from yourself or devalued you in one way or another. And now, as we move closer and closer to living with the Lord through his passion, his death, and his resurrection, we are invited to reclaim who we really are. I wonder if in this time of Lent, you are able to do that, to sit with that question, who am I really? The message, the way that I see myself, the messages that have shaped my life, or can I see myself the way that God sees me and claim for myself that I am a beloved son or daughter of God? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that on the journey of life through your word, through many different ways you speak to us and help us to come to see who we really are, that you are the one who gives us an identity as your beloved sons and daughters. And we pray today, as we live through this journey of Lent, you help us to claim or reclaim that identity for ourselves, that we will not live from those negative messages and images we have, but rather live in the light, knowing that we are indeed your beloved sons and daughters. We give you thanks for your word and the way that your word can transform us and transform the way that we see ourselves. And we ask you now for the grace to become aware of how you are calling us to see as you see. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive the blessing. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and always. Amen.